Mental health is truly everybody's business. And when you look at the history specifically of the African American culture, you see that the foundation of all of our information comes from our pastors and our faith leaders.
Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health, and you're listening to Into the Fold, Issues in Mental Health. The Hogg Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu. In 2014, the Hogg Foundation awarded grants to 11 faith-based organizations to start or strengthen dialogues about mental health, both within their respective places of worship and in their surrounding communities. As our faith-based initiative comes to a close, we're taking a look back at what it has achieved and what we can all learn from it. Our guests are Dr. Brenda Richardson-Rowe, a licensed professional counselor at Harmony Counseling Center in Dallas, Texas, and Dr. Dennis Young, pastor at Missouri City Baptist Church in Missouri City, Texas, both of whom are in town for the final faith-based initiative grantee meeting. Dr. Young and Dr. B, as you like to be called, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Humbled.
So why is it important to talk about mental health in faith communities?
Mental health is truly everybody's business. And when you look at the history specifically of the African American culture, you see that the foundation of all of our information comes from our pastors and our faith leaders. So because of that history and the continuation of that being where our people look to for information, it is so important that mental health is also part of that process, and that we lift the arms of our pastors and equipping them with the information they need to serve their congregations and communities.
Well, one out of four persons in the United States suffers from mental illness. But the main problem is that many of our pastors are today suffering from mental illness. We have several pastors who have been committing suicide as a result of being depressed. And they're being depressed by the changing tide that exists today. Pastors are under strain with finances, family affairs, comparison game, the social media. And so they are actually just going into a very, very depressive state because of all of these things and end up committing suicide. There are several pastors who are depressed right now and still preaching. And they would tell you that they're going to the office after preaching, and crying.
Okay, so Dr. Young, you just mentioned the comparison game.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that.
The comparison game, you have a church, I have a church. Mm-hmm. Your church is growing. Members are joining. Your budget is getting bigger. Everything seems to be going well for you. I'm also called of God. I'm doing my best. I'm preaching, I'm teaching, but I'm not having the same games as you are. So I get to the state where I say, why is God blessing you and he's not blessing me? As a result, I feel that I'm not accomplishing anything, and it drives me to a deep state of depression.
Right. Okay. And so the two of you have been involved with this faith-based initiative for the past 4 years. Have there been any surprises along the way, or like key lessons or takeaways that you've come across while working in the mental health space over these 4 years?
I would have to say, being a minister of counseling and having already being engaged in the work of mental health prior to the Hogg funding, learning and accepting the reality of meeting people, meeting clergy where they are, and being able to travel with them to a better place in terms of their knowledge and application of information surrounding mental health.
It was surprising to me as to the lack of education that exists as far as mental health is concerned. And secondly, it was also surprising to me to see the blockade that exists. All pastors are not open to allowing the program to be done in their churches. So that was very, very surprising to me.
Okay. And for those pastors who you say were not open, I mean, what do they tell you about their own attitudes toward mental health that might help to explain the lack of openness?
I think one of the problems is that, especially in the Baptist churches, each church is autonomous. So it's self-governing.
Yeah.
And many of the pastors feel if you come in with your programs, you're going to be taking my members away from me. So it's one of control many times.
Okay.
And clergy are actually no different than any other people. So struggling with the same stigmas, the same fears, the same lack of information, the same lack of concern if I share with my congregation or if I share with people struggles that I have. Will I be continued to be successful and will I be still seen as the shepherd in their eyes?
Right, right. And what would you say is the most significant difference in how you understand mental health today compared to 4 years ago?
I would have to say the biggest difference for me is actually accepting the reality, knowing that there were generations of hurt, generations of pain, historical trauma, historical pain, but really facing the reality that in addition to the lack of education, there's a huge gap in what we know and what people know about mental health and what they're actually applying and living out in their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take us continuous work, continuous focus to journey to a place of more healing in our culture.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we started a grant, I had a fair knowledge of mental health. Since we started a grant, I've studied, I've researched, I've presented, and now I have not just a fair knowledge, but a very extensive knowledge. So as a result, I'm able to be a lot more influential in terms of teaching and meeting needs.
Okay. And would that even include, teaching other pastors or other people?
Yeah. Pastors and members. Like, for example, each year I do at least one mental health message. And each time I do a mental health message, I have members who come forward and admit that they're going through mental problems.
Right.
And it gives me the opportunity to refer them to professionals.
Yeah.
I'd like to just add to that. Pastor Brian L. Carter, who's my pastor at the Concord Church, has been very, very instrumental and supportive of the Harmony Counseling Center, which is the faith-based community center of the Concord Church. The difference that has made of him preaching from the pulpit around topics of mental health, his support of activities around mental health, even having mental health information at a conference that he hosts every year, the E.K. Bailey Preaching Conference, has made a huge difference in the influence through his influence of getting information to other pastors and other congregations.
Okay. For Dr. B., you were an experienced counselor working with faith communities before this initiative began. So how has this initiative impacted the work that you do?
The initiative helped me to expand beyond the church, Concord Church, and beyond the community that I was already serving. It provided funds for me to reach out to smaller churches that may not have counseling ministries, counseling centers, all over the city of Dallas, and has expanded throughout the state to actually just expand the ability and the sharing of information around mental health and helping more and more more people to understand the continuum of health all the way through severe illness, that there's a continuum. And it's not, as some seem to think in our culture specifically, crazy. It is not that.
The initiative has actually helped me to step back and to set up a self-care program for myself, recognizing what's going on with others. Also, I've been able to help several members from the knowledge I've gained by referring them to professionals, not just from the church, but also in the community, in the schools. I've been able to speak to presidents of the universities, seminaries, and trying to get them to also spread that knowledge.
Okay. There's a local pastor here, A.J. Quinton. Mm-hmm. I did a podcast interview with him. I think it was 2015, mm-hmm. Just kind of talking about his own journey from mental health crisis to recovery. And one of the things that he really emphasized was the enormous pressure that there is on pastors to be there for others, even at the expense of their own well-being. Yeah. And it seems to me that every pastor kind of has to have his own inner conversation about how it is that they can make room for their own wellness, mm-hmm. even in the midst of, you know, everything else that a pastor has to deal yeah. with.
Well, we can't become all things to all men when we're not taking care of our own selves.
Yeah.
So it's apropos that we take the time as pastors to set up a program. And one of the important parts of that is taking a vacation. See, a vacation allows you to defrost.
Yeah.
I try to cruise every year, 7 days, and I turn my cell phone off. And I just defrost. When I come back, I'm ready to roll.
Yeah.
So that's very important.
That is so important, not only for the pastors and faith leaders, but because of the position of educating others about mm-hmm. self-care. It's very difficult to talk a talk of self-care when you are not living before others a life of self-care. And as you shared, taking vacation, mm-hmm. Your congregation and community seeing you with mm-hmm. your family, seeing you with your children, that is supporting the talk yes. Yes. that you're doing about healthiness.
Right. Okay, so Dr. Young, so what has this initiative meant to you personally? How has it impacted, you know, your duties as a pastor? And to build on that, how has your congregation kind of responded to this infusion of mental health programming?
As a result of the mental health programming, our congregation has actually gotten closer. We've been offering several sessions, and each session the attendance grew. There's also been generated conversation among our congregants talking about mental health. And then they're taking that information and sharing it in the workplace, in the community, or wherever they go.
Yeah.
So it's been very impactful.
Yeah, I would think that with mental health as a peg, mm-hmm. that it gives opportunities to go deeper. I mean, even more than the usual, you know, sharing of pains and sorrows yes. that goes yes. on in church.
Yes.
And so,
let me say we.
Yeah.
We don't even refer to it as mental health or mental illness. We use different names to try to connect and to reach people so that they would have that buy-in.
Right.
Pastor Young brings up such an important factor, and that's the wording. Mm-hmm. We have to be so aware of what so many already think when you just say the word mental. They don't even hear the health side of it. It's just mental. Mm-hmm. So being aware of how you title programs, how you title self-care, how inclusive you are as opposed to pointing to a specific population helps to draw people to the information that you're trying to provide for them.
So were there any missteps or things you would do differently today in either program delivery or handling situations involving mental health from when you first started?
This is something that Ms. Coffey has already identified, but I'd like to share. The Hogg Foundation and the committee of choosing all of the grantees did an awesome job of choosing churches in the state of Texas that were at various places. There were churches that had nothing related to mental health, all the way up to mega churches that had counseling centers. But having that whole ram of faith base actually represented was awesome. The one thing that I would say is having an evaluation period and a planning period that would extend the first 3 to 6 months or so of the grant, especially so that those who had more exposure, more experience, could help to share with some of those that may not have had that and help them to get a better start and a better footage in terms of the services that they wanted to provide in their community.
We were blessed with having a tremendous team to begin with. But as we assessed our program, we thought it would have been apropos to have met with all of the ministers and deacons and other leaders before and fully get their buy-in instead of just sharing with them what needs to be done. We also wish that we had extended more throughout the community. But I guess because of the what was required of the grant, we try to keep focus on that. But as we look back, we see it would have been really tremendous if we could have even focused more on community and try to bring them. We did have several community events, but I'm saying even more.
And Ms. Coffey, that is Vicki Coffey, a program officer here at Hogg. And that sounds a lot like the kind of thing that one of our folks would say.
Yes.
You know, we're always talking mm-hmm. about the need for more evaluation
right.
and for more planning. So on that, what suggestions do you have for other places of worship that might be considering how to support mental health in their congregations, but who might not have, you know, access to a grant maker?
Well, the first thing that needs to be looked at is that the pastor needs to be involved.
Right.
If the pastor, if you don't have the buy-in of the pastor, it's not going to go. And we want to encourage those churches to seek out the churches who have done it before. They have the information that's needed. They have done the research. They have given all the programs. They have everything available. Why seek to do what's already available?
Part of what has actually been established and developed through this initiative mm-hmm. is the African American Faith-Based Mental Health Resource, and that is at aafbmh.org.
Mm-hmm.
There is a wealth of information from articles to research to presentations and workshop outlines. There's a wealth of information and the statistical data that was collected doing this initiative that's all housed on that website. And all of that information is available mm-hmm. to the public. So that would be a wonderful and awesome place to start to look at and start to gain ideas and even people you could contact that could help you and support you and your church to develop the ministry of counseling and mental health in your church.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Young, you mentioned the need for to reach out to other churches. Mm-hmm. But going back to what you said a minute ago about mm-hmm. about the comparison mindset or
yes.
comparison game, I think that was mm-hmm. the term you
yeah,
used.
The comparative game. Yeah.
It seems that the emphasis on growth, on out competing, or each church kind of having its own desire to kind of create its own dominion,
mm-hmm.
that can really hinder the kind mm-hmm. of collaborative work mm-hmm. that you're both talking
yeah.
about.
Yes. That is a tremendous number one impediment in terms of reaching into the churches. And I guess what's needed is prayer. So that we would recognize as churches, it's not about us. It's not about building our kingdom. It's about building God's kingdom. So we take ourselves out of the equation and allow God to fill that space with what he needs done.
In addition to that, really thinking about focusing on those pastors and faith leaders that you can reach. Because the reach of a pastor to another pastor is much stronger than anything else in terms of influence. I'll share with you, we've had a mental health booth at the E.K. Bailey Preaching Conference for the last 4 years. People were trying to avoid passing the booth 4 years ago. I mean, not even considering the information. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did want to pass the booth. Up to inclusive of last year, we were bombarded by pastors that wanted information, that wanted us to send and share information with them. So there is growth. Mm-hmm. And pastors carrying that message to other pastors is your strongest vehicle.
And could I say, I think I've seen some change in terms of some pastors being opened, and we keep praying that that would continue to happen.
Dr. Brenda Richardson-Rowe, Dr. Dennis Young, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You're so welcome.
So we have just heard from a counselor and a pastor, but to get a sense of the full scope of our faith-based initiative, we thought we would turn to a familiar voice, Vicki Coffey, a program officer here at the Hogg Foundation. What you are about to hear is from episode 50, titled Hurricane Harvey, Faith and Resilience, in which Vicki talks about the broad impact of the faith-based initiative for faith communities in Texas. Enjoy. So the grant initiative is officially titled African-American Faith-Based Education and Awareness Initiative. In a nutshell, who are these grantees, where are they, and what makes them special to us?
So the grantees consist of 10 faith-based organizations, primarily churches, throughout Texas. Most of them in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the other in the Houston area, and then we have one of our rural grantees who is located in Taylor, Texas. And they were selected because they recognize the importance of the role that churches play in educating African-American communities about mental health, wellness, and recovery.
Okay. And so what outcomes and lessons learned are we starting to see with the grant program since it began in 2015?
So we know it's important to call mental illness what it is, but oftentimes using that, even that term, is too scary and very taboo for people of color to want to talk about and engage in dialogue around that topic. So through this initiative, we really learn that talking about the symptoms of how mental health manifests itself in a community is much more palatable rather than saying we're going to have a session about mental health and mental illness.
Yeah.
It seems to go across well. When we offer sessions that are focused on specific topics that people are more familiar and more comfortable talking about, such as stress or domestic violence,
yeah,
and even substance use concerns, and then specifically related to children, behavioral symptoms that children may exhibit. I would definitely say one of the things that we've recognized is that leadership buy-in is mission critical. You have to have the pastors or the bishop or whoever it is that's in the key leading role for the church to have their support. It's important because they can help really lead their congregants and their community in this topic. And then lastly, churches don't have to be the expert, and their role, of course, is not to diagnose and treat anyone in their congregation. And congregants use their faith as a tool to help them heal, right? And to help them address their needs to recover and also to try to maintain their wellness and stability. And so one of the best things that a church can do is to be accepting, to create a caring environment, and to give congregants the same unconditional love and respect and support as they do individuals who present to them with physical health conditions.
One final note before we go. This is not the first conversation we have had about faith and mental health. Be sure to check out the related links in the episode description online. You'll find a number of blog posts and podcasts that we have done on this topic. A good place to begin is with a recent grantee story on our website called Inclusion in Faith Circles Through Mental Health Education. It's about God's Way Christian Baptist Church, one of the faith-based initiative grantees. Thank you for joining us.